This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jimmy hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
I just want to do things my own way, you know.
I wish you wouldn't look at me that way. The kind of look that makes me stay when I need to go. Show and the way that I back out of the room, I'd rather watch your eyes than my own step. The road will always be hard, I know, but that doesn't bother me much as long as it's never hard being home. And the way that I'm surrounded by all that I hold sacred in the world. So why don't we make a rule of our own? Feelings won't count unless they're shown. We won't worry about the rest of the crowd. We'll have a little out loud.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting worldwide to all you fans out there, to all corners of the globe, coming to you from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Thrilled you're here today. Thrilled you are here. Hey, can I just say up front, I'm so sorry about being a bit behind on the podcast here. Gosh, we had a two-year run going there. Two-year run. Solid. Every week. Rolling. Man, I've gotten behind a bit here. The weeks just roll by. Not trying to make excuses. Just I've had other stuff. Coming up, man, band's been playing a lot. Been recording a lot of people up here. Traveling extensively. Playing everywhere. So my deepest and most sincere apologies. Rest assured I'm all right here in Fort Worth. How you doing, everybody? Fear not. Phil is rolling, man. Rolling. In fact, it's all good news. Been busier than ever. Been up here making records. Our good friend Jeff King wrapping up a record here at Trinidad. Great stuff. Frontman of the Notorious Gringos from North Carolina in here doing a record. Been mixing Donnie Waits' new record. How you doing out there, Donnie? Did you get the mixes I emailed you? Hope you did. Let me know what you think. Oh, man, we got... Remember Bacon Fat, our boys from Illinois? Bacon Fat. You know my bass player. Bass player of the full band. The great Blue Marshall. Blue. His brother Richard. His friend Mike. Their new band's coming in to record in May. Couldn't be more excited. Could not be more excited about that. Gosh, what else? Brian Joyner. From up here north of Dallas, Brian Joyner, his band, wrapping up a full album here, full record, made in the A room back here at Trinidad. Fun stuff. Been going back and forth. You know, when people leave the studio here, been recording, I always try to send lots of mixes. I bounce out little MP3s, like, hey, man, here's where we are, let me know. And what are you going to hear on those MP3s, man? A little distant organ, a little tambourine, Phil singing in the background. Just liven it up a little bit, you know? I know that scares some of you out there. Good. And I always say it's not going to hurt my feelings if you say you don't want it on there. Just say, not really digging the word, Mr. Phil. Your affinity with the shaker is not shared by us. Please mute it on the next mix. No problem. You got it. Well. Who else is coming in? Red out there in Lubbock talking about coming in here in July. My old friend Will Harrell coming in here in early June. And I'm also starting that Rodney Parker deal. I'm going to do some REM songs. Can you believe that? You know our friend Rodney Parker. He's been here the last couple of weeks. We're getting serious about it, man. I mean, we've been serious about it, but we finally got together the other day. Kicking around, man, just going online, printing off lyrics, listening to old REM stuff, just trying to pick, you know, we're trying to do 3, 4, 5 songs maybe. It's looking like it'll be an EP or something like that. Hopefully in the fall, I'd guess maybe it'd show up on iTunes or something like that. Download for your pleasure and enlighten yourself. We're trying to pick some songs maybe everybody wouldn't know from REM. Everyone knows "The One I Love." And it's the end of the world as we know it. And everybody thinks they just got all these records that no one paid much attention to lately. True, true. But let me tell you what, they had a whole career in the 80s of artistic, drunken rock and roll with unintelligible lyrics right up my alley. So look forward to that. So, man, it hasn't been that I've just been asleep. Got some emails from you. Phil, where are you? What's going on? Went to my inbox. There's no thing there. There's nothing there. No podcast. Ah, geez. Keeping up with it. Rest assured, man, we are starting anew, starting afresh. Just continuing to roll along. Well, man, I wanted to share a great piece of literature with you here. I talk about Bob Lefsetz a lot. Y'all need to just subscribe to the Lefsetz Letter. Lefsetzletter.com. Bob is an old, I think he's a music industry attorney, or he was a lawyer. He's been in the music business forever. Always, and just sends out free emails, his blog, you know, every day or two, you'll get a stack of them. And what's really cool is he'll publish, responses he gets from people, a lot of them very famous. For example, he wrote about Brad Delp, the great Boston, lead singer for Boston. "It's been such a long time." You know that stuff we know so well, the high voice of Brad Delp. Sad story, passed away a few years ago. And a couple guys wrote in saying, "Oh, yeah, I remember recording with Brad and all this kind of stuff. And I remember, man, making the record." Of course, the big brains behind the band Boston. And you know what? Boston's one of those bands that beats you down a little bit these days. It's played so much on classic rock. We all know all about it. But, man, it's hard. And I've been doing this as a producer of late. I always try to go back. And as soon as I hear Hotel California, I shut it off. Ah, shut up, you know. How many times can I listen to that? How many times can I listen to Stairway? How many times can I listen to Highway to Hell or Long Time by Boston, you know? I turn the station. But, man, when I'm sitting here doing these guys' records up here, people come into the Trinidad confines to record, I find myself turning it up on that classic rock. You know what I mean? And just saying, man, what is it about what's going on here sonically that makes this work? Usually you got a great song and a great singer, great performance. Of course, you can't do a whole lot about that. But just sonically, you know, kind of what's going on, the arrangements and stuff. I mean, it's hard to listen to that first Boston's first record and just think, oh, man, this stuff sucks, man. So awesome. But he got a long letter from the brains of Boston, MIT's Tom Scholz. He's the guy that, the brains behind Boston, the guitar player, lead guitar player, songwriter. I think he went to MIT, and a real smart guy. He invented the Rockman. Some of y'all in the 80s might remember the Rockman. I don't know if it's still around anymore. It was kind of the first little portable device. You know, you'd clip it onto your belt, or it was a small little effects box that had all kinds of cool distortion. You plug your guitar right into it, and you could, wear headphones plugged into your Rockman and just be jamming like you're playing through a Marshall stack, you know, without anybody hearing you. Or you could run it out through an amp or whatever you wanted to do with it. So Scholz was a real pioneer in classic rock. But he wrote in and chimed in on the making. So people were writing in to Bob going, "Oh, man, I remember Brad doing the vocals here. And, yeah, Boston's first record, they were recording it in L.A. So Scholz writes Lefsetz a nice long letter here. I'm just going to read some parts of it. Where he sets the record straight on how some of that first Boston's record were made. He says he has a vivid recollection of the events surrounding the making of Boston. I thought one thing that was really cool is everybody talks about the Hammond organ on Boston. Everyone's going, man, the Hammond organ, you know, at the beginning of, dun, dun, you remember at the beginning of Foreplay, right before Long Time. But Scholz says, man, the organ actually used was an old M3. You know who's got an M3 organ? Right here, Phil, how you doing? 1960 Hammond M3 organ. M3 is what they used on Boston's first record. I was floored by that. Let's see. He says, the organ actually used was an old M3, often referred to as the Baby B3, with several damaged tone generator wheels in the upper register. This and an old Leslie, old 147 Leslie, that's the speaker cabinet used with organs, is all I had. After lots of hard work tweaking the individual tone generator levels, it sounded great. So I thought that was cool. Schultz says, man, he did most of, recorded most of that record in his basement. The label and everybody was just sort of saying, oh, we did this. You know, they did some overdubs and maybe some mixing in some of the big studios in L.A. But Schultz is very proud and very defiant in his letter here to say, man, I did all this in my basement and I was just figuring it out. I didn't know how to work, how to edit. You know, back then you had to edit the tape with a razor blade if you wanted to cut out a part or something. You only get one shot at that, man, sitting digital. So he said, man, he was just sweating bullets, just cutting tape and, you know, trying to make edits not audible, you know, when the tape ran through the machine. Oh, just all kinds of geeky recording stuff that I find fascinating. And it's really cool to go back and listen to that track, Foreplay, Long Time, and how it all came together. Well, oh, man, what else is going on in Phil World besides catching up with some emails? How about Corpus Christi a little while back? Thank you, Corpus Christi. We haven't been down there with the full band in eons. Eons. Now, I went down there in February. I go down there in the cold weather months. It's maybe my sense of irony. To go down to an outdoor venue on a sunny beach-type, in a sunny beach-type atmosphere, and play a show in February. You know, like these winter Texans. They come from all over the country, and they live in the winters down there on the coast. I kind of do the same. So, I was down there on the... It was freezing cold. Not freezing, but pretty chilly at the surf club. Outdoor stage, of course. Played a solo gig there in February. I played the encore out standing on the tables there with no amplification. Played a couple songs for the folks there. I hope they enjoyed that. It was pretty fun. So, love playing the surf club, of course. So this is our first full band gig there. And we had Kelly Moore, who is the sound guy, always runs sound for us at the surf club, and is a great drummer. Had a drummer snafu leading up to the show. So Kelly, we sent him the tracks, and he practices on them. And so he plays the show with us. It went great. Had a big crowd, like one of our bigger crowds we've had in, the last, four, five, six times there. Big crowd there. Of course, we were helped by, one of the other clubs had like a cover band. And then at a Concrete Street Amphitheater, you ready for this? The big place down the street. You know, sometimes you show up and they got Keen playing there. And you're trying to play the surf club. You're like, crap. You know, you're going to lose a lot to something like that. Who do they got there at Concrete Street? None other than Danzig. Danzig, man. Let me tell you, the only person who was sad about missing Danzig to go to the Phil Pritchett gig was our beloved drummer that night, Kelly Moore, who, being a Corpus guy, kind of a metalhead, so he gave him a hard time about that on stage. I was like, sorry to keep you from going to Danzig. He goes, man, I actually probably would have gone. he's so normal looking, you know, you wouldn't pick him as a big metalhead, but man, he knows all that kind of stuff, you know. But just did a fantastic job on our songs. I was amazed. You know, you never know. Sometimes you have a guy play drums with you or play a show. You're ready for anything. Like, well, if it gets too, you know, off the rails, you know, we'll have them take a break and I'll do a acoustic set for 10 songs or something. But I took the requisite, two or three songs. Did a few by myself in the middle. But the rest of the time we had Kelly right up there with Blue, just rocking it, man. God, it was fun. Not too hot, beautiful weather. Corpus Christi, we love you. Well, hopefully here, very, very shortly, we're going to have a special guest, the full band's own, he hasn't been here in a long time, J.W. Blue Marshall, dropping by to offer his wisdom, his insight into where the full band is going. A lot going on in Phil World, man. Recording. God, we're working with a new booking agency. I still book myself, essentially. But some other people out there hunting us down, wanting to work with us, get us some work, etc. And the drummer fiasco goes on. You know, you've probably been hearing the news. Our beloved Stuart Wiley, Stu, is semi-retired now with his beautiful new child, his new wife, running his family business. He's had to say, man, I just don't know if I can go to Corpus and Houston, some of these places. So, man, the call kind of going out for some drummers out there who may want to play with a full band. So work on your chops. Email me, phil@philpritchard.com. If you're like, hey, man, I live out here. I could pick up a few gigs here and there or become the full-time guy. Whatever. We're always open for business, right? Always looking for a few good men, the full band. Well, coming up, we'll see if Blue can drop by and offer some wisdom. Stay tuned. Blue, maybe, here, next. As long as it's never hard being home. And the way that I'm surrounded by all that I hold sacred in the world. So why don't we make a rule of our own? The feelings won't count unless they're shown. We won't worry about the rest of the crowd. We'll laugh a little out loud. My mind works hard to keep your faces fresh, but even my brain's best effort will never do you justice in the flesh. And your infinite caresses still add up to less than I can take. So why don't we make a rule of our own? The feelings won't count they're shown. We won't worry about the rest of the crowd.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you as always from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, where history is made every day. History for somebody, at least. And hopefully the world at large. How you doing, folks? Great to have you here. Well, who should stop by the studio here today? As it's getting dark outside, the storm clouds may be rolling in. Who knows? But from out in the distance, out in the cold, dark distance, comes a man holding a Macintosh laptop and his iPhone, you know, coming through the rain, dodging the raindrops. He is none other than the full band's very own and beloved member of the full band, beloved by fans all over the world, J.W. Blue Marshall is here. How you doing, Blue? Thanks for dropping by today.
Just in from a cold north blue.
In from the cold north blue, so to speak.
That's right.
There you go.
Great to be here.
Were you working on that one driving over here?
I was.
There
yeah.
you go.
Oh,
you delivered it very well.
Nailed it.
Delivered it very well. Well, what's new in our history, man? Of course, big news. Big news here, and we're just kind of breaking this news here to fans everywhere. Of course, they've all figured it out. Not that it's any big secret, but our beloved Stuart Wiley. How many years? You and Stu came into the band.
5 years.
About
5 years.
5 years this summer, right?
Yep.
When it June, late June or
yeah,
July?
July 1st.
Stuart Wiley, who is retiring from rock and roll. Can you believe it, fans? The bearded Stu, cigarette, beer, kicking ass. Just leaving it all behind.
We're hoping it's a Brett Favre move.
I hope
we're
so.
Michael Jordan, is he going to come on?
Can he come out of retirement?
I think he can.
There's no
rules.
The
great thing about music.
That's the great thing about music. You're never done. I don't believe it. Of course, we wish Stu the best of luck. I've never had anyone leave the band that I wished any ill will upon, you know. It's bad business, man. And Stu said, he goes, man, if you need somebody and it's in town, I can do it. I'd love to come play occasionally and all that. But he can't go out of town. Well, he's got the child now. He's married now. His family-run business that his dad runs.
Just taking over the business.
Dad's getting older. Stu's taking over the business. And it's just gotten tough for him to get out of town and things like that. And I totally understand. But our hearts are heavy, are they not, Blue?
They're heavy.
I mean, this is we had a lot of history with old Wiley.
It's not the same without Wiley.
He's good grief.
Just where he began and where he ended, just two
I know.
Completely different places. Couldn't have worked out better for Stu.
I think it did, too. I think it was a good growing experience for him.
That's what the full band provides.
The full band provides. It's kind of like going to college. It's a 4 or 5 year commitment.
Right. Yeah. You come out with
you come out with a worthless education, but a hell of a good time. No, I hope that he had a good time here. But yeah, Stuart, reminisce about Stu a little bit. He came in. He worked the door at
Woody's.
At Woody's and at the Thirsty Armadillo in the Stockyards.
Yep.
Where the full band had a residency for a while. We played there every Wednesday night for like 6 months or something like that. Stu was a lot younger than me. He seems less younger than me now.
Right.
We all get older. We all become the same age.
And that's before the beard.
But that was pre-beard, Stu. Yeah, pre-girlfriend or anything. You know, he just
pre-kids.
Playing drums with Kurt South was kind of Podcast zone Kurt South. So I call Kurt when and we're going to cover this next week. Some people are always asking about guys who play with me and stuff. We're going to attempt, fans. So stay tuned for next week. Attempt to draft a Phil Pritchett and the Full Band family tree, I guess you'd say.
Beginning
a
to
chronology of events of people, people who just maybe came in for a couple, here and there, who was filling in at this time. It's going to be a fun walk down memory lane for me, and hopefully somewhat amusing to you fans out there who have seen the Full Band play over the years with many incarnations. Who's that guy on bass? Who's the guy on drums? What happened to the dude who was this? And anyway, so I'm going to try to remember all that for next week. But Stu came in. Kurt recommended him. He said, man, he knows your show. He knows the songs. And that was really the whole...
Big fan.
Big fan of the band. And gosh, just what I tell people is just, you got to show up on time. And Stu was always on time.
Always.
You know?
Very punctual.
Stuart Wiley. No matter what he'd been doing the night before. Some nights I'd see him. I'm like, man,
he's not going to make it.
It'd be 2 in the morning. I'm like, Stu, man, we leave tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I'm leaving, dude. You got to be here. I'll be there, man. I'll be there. And sure enough, man, just a little knock at my door, meeting over at Pritchett's house.
Ready
Wiley,
to go.
7:55 with his coffee.
That's right.
Bloodshot eyes, beard.
Just ready to take a nap in the van.
Yeah, ready to take a nap.
Do it all again.
But then, oh, man, he meets his wife-to-be, Haley, our friend Haley, the lovely Haley. And the rest is history.
The
full band was in the wedding.
Bearded and in the wedding.
That's right. Yeah, I had a beard for Stu's wedding.
Yep.
That's right. He got married. God, on the hottest day I've ever experienced in my life.
Ever.
Remember that?
It's
like August 29th or something.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, it was hot.
I think it was July, maybe.
Maybe it was.
It was hot.
I'd been up at camp in the summer, so I'd grown in the beard. Yeah, you and me. Wasn't Richard there?
No. Kurt South played the wedding.
Oh, Keaton was there.
And Keaton was there.
Kurt South played it. A lot of us were there. Great wedding, great time. So, yeah, man, that's usually what happens with members of the full band. It's when the girlfriend comes in, the job, the kid. A lot of times that's the end of it. It's just kind of the way it goes.
And many times for the best.
In Stu's case or anybody else's case. Now, a little while back, and I don't want to put you on the spot here.
A little worried.
Well, J.W. Marshall, our of course, full band bass player, says he's been dating this girl for a while. And he's also been at this company for a while, and he gets a promotion in the company. And he and the girlfriend, take a trip maybe here and there. Stu's coming to me concerned. We're losing J-Dub. He's got this big promotion. He's got this girl. He's got to get married. He's got to run this company. Dot, 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 dot. So I start, man, I get out the cell phone. I'm scrolling through.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you now, Ryan Lynch? You know?
That's right.
Doug Holm, or can you still play Maria? You know, I'm going back through the list. But then, lo and behold, and I don't mean to make light of it here, those things went away, and here you are now.
That's right. I got nowhere better to be.
Well, it was a sudden deal, some shakeups at the company.
Right.
You went on your own, consultant. Now, you're thriving. You're traveling all the time. Now, look at you with your laptop and your phone.
It's all working out.
So you have your own business now, essentially.
Work for myself.
And single.
And single.
Good grief. Man, yeah, your enthusiasm
for
the band.
I'm the perfect full band member.
Oh, gosh. I'm so lucky.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
I thought I was losing you, Blue. But golly. The relationship went away. The job went away. And we're back together again. Headed to the firehouse.
Funny how it all works out.
It does.
You never know.
It all works out. You never know where it's headed. But we couldn't be more thrilled about that for Stu. So... we have talked to people recently at the shows have seen a little mix up.
A couple different guys we had.
Who played the one before that?
We had John Losinger.
Oh, your old friend John Losinger, the great Jordan McCoskey drummer.
Drummer, right.
And friend of yours from way back.
And friend of Steve's. Back then, where there were a lot of McCoskey South pairings for shows back then. So
McCoskey would get mad because he still never forgave me for quote unquote stealing you.
True.
As your bass player. I mean, you stole my bass player. I'm like, well, you know, I offered him a job. Well, you stole him, you know. I don't know. I think he's kidding half the time. I hope he is.
I hope.
I hope so too.
How did South take it?
Better
than McCoskey?
Yeah, I guess South at that time. He'd kind of been just doing the solo deal.
Right, they weren't playing as much. We weren't really playing as much either.
Not that much, yeah. So and I had some gigs to play, and ended up working out well. Yeah, but Stu, the transformation, and I would say all positive, maybe.
Yeah.
Between where he came in, the way he played, the way he, just his...
The way he drank,
his maturity level.
Smoked.
Yeah, well, you know, he was all gung-ho early on. Everybody is. Late nights, waha. And man, he kind of over the years, but man, what was someone that we had a list of all the firsts? First Stu.
First time on an airplane.
He'd never been on an airplane.
First time out of the state of Texas.
Well, he'd been to Colorado, hadn't he?
I don't think so.
Man, maybe
I think
not.
It was his first time out of the state.
Out of the state.
Because he was like, man, I got Texas. What more do I need?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
He bragged, boasting of never leaving the great state of Texas.
So Stuart Wild, he came in. He had never been out of the state of Texas. He'd never been on an airplane. Had never shot a gun.
Never shot a gun. Never purchased vinyl records.
Never had purchased vinyl records.
That was a big one.
That was a big one. Stu's one of these guys, when he gets onto something,
he's on
it 110% of the time.
No question.
What are some of those habits he picked up? I mean, he came on, he kind of learns about vinyl a little bit. And he goes, there's some half-price books about Tom Petty, Hard Promises. I'm like, yeah, man, that's a good album.
Selection.
And he just nods. And the next thing I know, dude, he's going out at night. He's just scouring, and he's built this collection of like 2,000 albums.
A couple albums
in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And he's just asking me about stuff. Suddenly he knows more about music than I do.
It's amazing. It was amazing.
I know. He's just like, hey, do you have David Bowie's first record? I'm just kind of like, I don't think so. I'm like, Stu, where'd you get? He's like, man, he's buying them on eBay. Remember? Man, I just got Ben Morrison Moondance online for $3. Some guy in Australia. I'm like, what was the shipping cost on that? I don't care, man. I had to have it, you know. And so he did that. So, yeah, vinyl. He just went off on vinyl.
Big one. Coffee. Yep. Was never a coffee drinker.
Never drank coffee. Swore against it. Hated it. Never would like it. Boy, did that change.
3, 4, 5 cups a day.
Oh, goodness, goodness.
To this day, probably.
Drinking coffee like it's going out of style. Then one of the other big ones, of course, was online poker.
Yep.
Big time. He kind of got into that. God, he was just up.
He could never quite tell us how far up or down he was.
Yeah, he wasn't quite sure.
He had the sense that he was up.
He didn't know
overall.
How much he was up, right. But I think overall, as we all do, we all win in the end, right?
Nope,
the house never wins. That's what I always say.
That's right.
You're always up. Everyone's a winner in Las Vegas. That's kind of my motto.
That's right. Now my personal favorite.
What, is this another habit he
We may all know that he is a huge disc golf player.
Mm.
Just...
Frisbee golf aficionado. Maybe
professional status by this point. I mean, every morning.
I wouldn't say he's the Tiger Woods of disc golf, but he's definitely more like a Jim Furyk.
Oh yeah,
maybe a John Daly of a.
Oh yeah,
of a John Daly's maybe an apt example.
And he stuck to the disc golf for a while, but there was another sport that he briefly almost went semi-professional in.
Yes,
big time. Every day at the alley,
smoking, drinking a pitcher,
throwing
of beer,
rocks, throwing strikes,
bowling.
Stuart Wiley.
Stu is a big guy, of course, strong, great technique. Stu's very, very athletic. People don't. He was a catcher in baseball, played big time baseball, and just has a real. If you ever seen him, we've been out throwing the ball. He's got a real easy throwing motion. Like he's really good with like playing horseshoes, washers, shuffleboard,
disc golf,
anything that requires a little hand eye coordination. Just sort of flicking, like playing pool.
Any kind of bar games.
Ping pong.
Yep.
Shuffleboard. Stu was always very, very good at those. So it was no surprise to me that he was a good bowler, a good technique. He threw the big spinning,
the hook.
You know, the hook. And man,
lefty.
He was always over 200.
Oh, yeah.
He's been out bowl 238, you know, and he's been having to go on the bowler circuit.
He did a little research. And
he went out and he was like.
Played in some tournaments, I think.
I know. And he played in some disc golf tournaments.
Yep.
But then, boy, in a minute, he just drops it. I'm not buying vinyl anymore. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah.
Overrated.
He's on to the next thing. He never does two of these at the same time.
Really. Oh, no.
It's one or the other. He'd be on vinyl. Then he'd be on online poker.
And he's like, bowling.
Then he's bowling. I'm like, man, you still playing poker? What?
No.
Doing what? I'm like,
no,
I'm poker? Bowling. You're playing every night? Oh, no, no, I'm bowling now. Then he's on to disc golf. You still going to the alley? Oh, no. You know, that was just a silly little thing. He just moves on. He can focus all of his attention. It's unbelievable. Well, we will miss him terribly. And let me put the call out right now to drummers everywhere, all over the globe.
Hopefully in Texas.
Hopefully living in Fort Worth somewhere so you can get in the van. Yeah, if you do think, Phil, love your band, I'm your guy.
Big fan.
First of all, and here's everyone thinks they got to be like real good. You know what I'm saying? What did B.B. King say? B.B. King said, I'd rather play with people I like than people that are good any day.
True story.
And, of course, with you guys, I got both. So it was great. But I tell guys, look, man, you just got to be able – you got to show up on time. And you got to have good attitude, number two. The number three, if you're a pretty good drummer, that's
a bonus.
Great. That's a bonus. So and Stu was all those things. And we will miss him terribly. But you know what? When one door closes, a window opens. Is that the saying, was it? When one door closes, another one opens?
Yes.
So that might be you out there listening to the podcast, laying on the couch, unemployed, practicing your drums. And you just think, man, this is my time. Well, here you go. Phil at philpritchard.com. Hey, Phil, know all your songs. I'll be on time. I'll have a good attitude.
Come try out.
Yeah. Lazy stoners need not apply. Give me somebody who can work. You know what I mean?
That's right.
That's right.
A lot of unloading and loading of gear.
That's right. Loading and unloading of gear.
Sound checking.
Occasionally having to take your own car somewhere, whatever. But, hey, man, it pays, and it's a good fun time.
The show must go on.
The show must go on.
The full band must go on.
The full band must go on.
As we'll discuss, it has for how many years now?
Oh, man. About
next week.
Yeah, 15 years. Something like that.
15, 16 years. The full band has gone on in some iteration.
In some capacity, that's correct. Well, man, next week we're going to get into more of the family tree of the full band. Blue's going to be here to sort of keep me on track.
And talk ask some the tough stuff, questions.
Ask the tough questions everybody wants to know. Well, 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 Stuart Wiley, we hardly knew ye. Godspeed, Stu Wiley. We hope to see you in here soon. You know what makes me sad is in the vault today, we got some Paul McCartney, one of those Paul McCartney. I was holding these two Paul McCartney records that I listened to all the time and should have been in the vault a year ago. But Stu kept saying, don't do McCartney because I'm coming in to do the podcast. And that's what I want to talk about, the McCartney record. I said, I'll hold it for you. I'll hold it for you. Well, now we don't know. He's out there pouring concrete, taking care of his family. So today I just grabbed the McCartney record. I said, well, I guess I'll just go ahead and talk about it by myself.
It's not too late, Stu, to come in and do a podcast.
That's right. Never, never. Always welcome. Always welcome. We'll get him in here someday. We'll get him here someday. I just hate that it's a retrospective and not about a current incarnation of the band.
Brett Favre, Michael Jordan, you never know.
That's right. He might have another
He might be back next week.
He might have another two bad seasons in him somewhere.
That's right.
For another team. Well, that is all we have here today in the middle section. Thanks so much for heading over here in the storm, Blue. Gosh, can you hear the rain outside? Pounding.
Pouring down.
The hail. The wind. Well, we're going to take cover here in the center hallway, duck our heads, hope the storm passes, and then once it does, we'll get into the vault, listen to some Paul McCartney, Sir Paul McCartney in the vault next.
Every night I just want to go out, get out of my head. Every day I don't want to get up, get out of my bed. Every night I want to play out, and every day I want to do. But tonight I just want to stay in and be with you. And be with you. every day I lean on a lamppost, I'm wasting my time. Every night I lay on a pillow, resting my mind. Every morning brings a new day, and every night that day is through. But tonight I just want to stay in and be with you, and be with you.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios. My studio here in Fort Worth, Texas. Welcome, everyone. Thrilled to be with you here. What a great time we've had this week. How about the full band's own Blue JW, Blue Marshall dropping by, sharing his wisdom, his thoughts, his concerns with the evolution of the full band. All good things, man. All good things coming to you, the fan out there, courtesy of the full band. It's reassuring knowing J-Dub is here, right? Playing the bass, holding it down, singing those harmonies as he's wont to do. Outstanding stuff. Well, well, well. You know what, man? When the Beatles broke up in 1970, now they've been falling apart for a long time. You know, they quit working. Basically, no one likes to say that, but I'm a true fan, so I can go ahead and say it. You know, they toured, you know, playing all those legendary shows in the clubs and strip bars of Germany, sweaty basements in Liverpool, etc., etc. It's all been written. The books are out there. I don't need to catch you up on all that kind of thing. Honing their craft, putting in Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours, learning how to be entertainers, and getting so good at it. Well, you know, their last public show, I think, was 1966, Candlestick Park, San Francisco. They just said, man, we're not going to tour anymore, man. We're just going to play in the studio. We're just going to record records in the studio, man. In the studio. Well, that's what they did, man. They made, Sgt. Pepper, etc., the White Album. But they weren't out touring and supporting those records. So, you know, hey, man, when you quit working, quit traveling, quit banging around, it's sort of the beginning of the end. You know, the legend has it that John Lennon was with Yoko and all strung out and he didn't want to lead the band, but he didn't want to follow anybody else in the band either. George and Ringo, they were just hanging out, but man, it was old Paul McCartney who was always trying to rally him, and they hated him for it, because he was kind of like, come on, lads, let's get out there, let's write some new music, you know, let's go out there and play some music. But they were having none of it, man. It was like, oh, Paul, he's trying to record everything, he's trying to, he's trying to drag us along into his deal. But I don't know, and I understand their point of view. McCartney can be a bit bullish and headstrong and at want for attention, etc. But he had a lot of talent. And, man, you look back on those late Beatles years, as I've had, make no mistake. Man, it was kind of McCartney who was trying to get him to record. They wouldn't have done anything in the late 60s if it wasn't for McCartney. Kind of getting them together and writing songs and encouraging them to get over to the studio and do their parts and everything like that. He was trying to get him on the road for years, and he couldn't do it. So anyway, Paul basically sued the band, broke up the band, left the band, although Lennon would later want to take credit for it, like saying, I broke up the Beatles, I am the Beatles, you know, I started the band. But it was really McCartney, man, who really wanted to keep working. He wanted to go record his own records and tour, and didn't want all of his business stuff tied up in the Beatles thing. They had the company Apple, putting out their own records and all that, which was just a disaster. It went bankrupt, basically. So anyway, you have all this swirling around here at the end of the Beatles' reign, at the end of the 60s, 1970. Let It Be, the last Beatle record recorded, I believe, was Abbey Road. And then after Abbey Road came out, they released Let It Be, which had been recorded kind of back before. But anyway, it all just sort of ground to a halt there. So McCartney, what did he do? Well, he did what anybody would do. He just went to Scotland and got drunk for a year. But he was married now to Linda, his longtime wife, before she died of breast cancer. Gosh, I don't know, around 2000, I guess, or late 90s or something like that. And she had some kids, and they had kids and stuff like that. So McCartney was up there in Scotland, drinking and feeling sorry for himself. And he makes this his solo record, McCartney. And that's what we're listening to in the vault today, with a bit of sadness because this was a Stu Wiley favorite. So, and he kept saving for Stu to come in here, but we're moving on, man. We're moving on with McCartney. We'll get Stu in here another time for something else. But this is a great track here, opening up, of course, Every Night we heard coming on here at this top of the segment. But also love this one. We'll talk more about how the record was recorded, but listen to just the homemade style of this stuff. This is Man, We Was Lonely, McCartney. So funky. A lot of people don't know McCartney's a good drummer, man. Like a wicked badass drummer. Played left-handed, of course, as he played every other instrument. Oh, fantastic stuff. So this is the sound. You know, I read McCartney's autobiography. Oh, what's it called? The huge one. Oh gosh, what's it called? All those years ago? No. Anyway, it's the big McCartney gigantic biography. But he talks about this being a really hard time for him, man. He had a little farm in Scotland, and man, surprisingly, was a little broke as far as rock stars who ruled the world would be at that point. He had this little farm in Scotland, and he was up there with the kids, just kind of hanging out, and like I said, drinking a lot, feeling sorry for himself, started recording, writing these songs. Someone took a big old tape machine out there, like a Studer, a 2-inch tape machine. So he had this tape machine, some instruments and cables, and he was plugging, he was explaining in the book, it was a little confusing, just plugging like the mics directly into the inputs on the tape machine, like he didn't have a board, he didn't really have like preamps or EQs or anything, and was just plugging straight into the tape machine and recording, man. He was just doing little guitar parts and bass things and going back and doing percussion and things. You hear the dog barking in the background, and he's just in his living room there at the ranch house, drinking and just woohoo, he's doing his McCartney deal.
And it's got a, this record's just got a great sound to it. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of along the Springsteen, Nebraska kind of deal. Like, you really got to be somebody to put something like this out. But the songs are cool. They're not even songs, a lot of them. There's kind of groovy little interludes, you know, just cool little segues. You know, some of these songs in this record, McCartney, are just kind of like a minute long or something. And so this is a funky one, man. One of my favorites. In the funkiest McCartney way, ooh, you. Check this one out from McCartney.
More guitar.
Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast from Trinidad World Recording Studios. Book the band, 817-733-5256. That's my phone number, here, on my desk, in my pocket. Call me. Don't be surprised when I say, this is Phil. Just say, hey, Phil, we need you to come play. Let's make it happen, man. All different ways to do it. Solo, full band, PA, acoustic, sitting around the campfire, sitting in the den, standing by the pool, playing on a huge stage in a field, whatever. We do it all. So call us or email me, phil@philpritchett.com. And all you recording folks out there, come to Trinidad. Record here. We got a great, big, huge Pro Tools HD room back there. Everything you can imagine. You don't even have to bring any instruments if you don't want. In fact, I discourage you bringing any instruments. Oh, bring your favorite guitar or something like that. But otherwise, pluck one off the wall. Surprise yourself with what we have. You know you'll be pleasantly surprised. And man, don't forget, I also do a lot of mixing here. Mastering. Have you recorded, you know, in your basement? You know, you got, or you went to your buddy's studio. Man, I did drums. It sounds pretty good. Vocals, guitars. Dude, do it. A lot of guys have done now. They just put it, you know, put it on a little hard drive, drop it in the mail, send it to me. Say, Phil, add some stuff. I've got a, we got all kinds of software, you know, Pro Tools, Logic, etc. I'll fly your project in. Man, we'll get the Wurlitzer going, the B3 if you want it, some background vocals, guitar solos, tambourines, shakers, harmonies. You name it, man, I'll add some stuff. And when I send it back to you, I'll send you some mixes, man, with some stuff fleshed out, you know. Keeps you from having to hire, you know, 10 different guys to come in there and do different 10 different things. So doing a lot of that, man, a lot of mixing and mastering here at the studio. So if you can't make it all the way to Trinidad, you know, record yourself and send it up here, man. I'll put my little magic dust on it, help you out if I can. So email me, phil@philpritchard.com, for all your concerns about music. Well, we've been sitting in a Scottish ranch house up there in Scotland, cold, cloudy, drunk with McCartney, growing a beard. Oh, just a man after my own heart up there, drinking whiskey, growing a beard, and recording, plugging straight into the old Studer 2-inch tape machine, doing all these funky songs, playing his little Hofner bass and a little drum kit he's got, using percussion from things in the kitchen. Just doing all these ooh things that McCartney does. We love him, pull, sir, pull. Well, man, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he recorded this next song in London. I think he went back and recorded this one. This is just epic. An epic McCartney tune. Got to leave you with the best one here. You know, in his autobiography, McCartney says, man, I was going through a tough time. But who was there with me? Hey, behind every good man is a good woman, right? And he had Linda, his wife of so many years, with him for that. So he wrote, maybe I'm amazed at the way you love me all the time. One of my favorite songs of all time. We'll leave you with this one from his first solo record, Paul McCartney, Maybe I'm Amazed. And we will see you guys, fans, Romans and countrymen all, next week on the podcast. Take care. Much tougher.